Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
I'm Dee, and combined, we're the Wonder Twins. For deliciously geeky fun
and mega nerdy hygiene,
follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Weekly episodes can be found on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Google Play. We're the best little podcast in Texas, Joe.
We're the Wonder Twin Powers Activate Show.
Hey Kids Comics, I am excited tonight. I am also Andrew Farmer with me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston. Are you out there, Jedi Cole?
I am both out here and also excited.
You sound excited.
You?
Hey, oh, who's that voice?
Oh, what? What? Where?
We brought a specialist in tonight on this issue.
That's right.
Because, you know, Eddie Funky Colt Medina, show regular, and resident crypto, zoologist joins us tonight. we brought him in because a lot of what we're going to be talking about, I think, borders on cryptozoology.
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, cause half the Marvel Legend figures I ended up buying was because they reminded me of other cryptos, but we'll get into that later.
But yes,
like, this
Eddie.
Is the Marvel version of this is the Marvel version of that. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Eddie, thank you for joining us tonight. It's always a wonderful pleasure when you do join us. Eddie's got some plugs at the end of the show here that he's going to plug. You know, some fundraising stuff that we've been pushing really hard out there on the social medias, like my mom would say. But
we'll actually skip that because by the time this airs, it's going to be over. So, but thank you though.
Damn it! All right, that's right, because we're in the last push for that.
But thank you anyway.
Well, it's evergreen. Just don't tell them that, Eddie. You keep making money that way. Come on, man. But that's
deceit is an effective means of generating funds.
That's right, but that's not why we're here tonight. We're here tonight because we are on the fourth issue of a five-issue story arc. The fifth will remain a secret until next week.
That's right.
But
get
what
ready
are we talking
for a big
about?
Reveal. We are talking about when Spider-Man villains go animal.
It's a jungle out there, guys.
I was trying to get like the creepiest go animal, you know. Like some sort of weird, you know, combination of a street person and George Carlin.
You just took me back to when the first time I saw the trailer for the 70s movie Day of the Animals. Like that.
Oh, hey, I saw Day of the Animals in the theater twice.
I just wish one of the two of you could do a really effective When Animals Attack Fox special voice. You know, that guy. Like, that's what I want.
Tonight on Hey Kids Comics.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
When Animals Attack. Spider-Man Edition!
This man is running through the backyard. He doesn't know it, but there's a man in a vulture suit that's going to swing down and pick him up.
And steal his case full of jewels.
There's an octogenarian in a vulture suit.
Wait, steal his family jewels? Or oh, his case? He's streaking, apparently. Like, the vulture's got this thing.
You would take it there.
Hiding under a baby pool.
Right.
Won't help you from the rhino. I'm combining Cops and When Animals Attack now. Which, by the way, would have saved a lot of those shows if they would have done that. But
I just have one thing to say. That Leslie Nielsen sure can wrestle a bear.
Some
pre-comedy Leslie Nielsen, just bordering on comedy, then that's where you want to be.
So we have made it through the Green Goblin. We have made it through Dr. Octopus. We have made it through Sandman. And now, for something fairly unprecedented in one of these type of shows, we are going to talk about the literal menagerie, the Noah's Ark-esque. of all those animal villains that Spider-Man ends up with, just in his rogues gallery, and he has over the past 70 years, just this heaping helping of, you know, animal right. crackers to fight. And, I want to ask a question right off the top, right? Because, you know, as we go through this, there are probably no less than 30 that I found in my really cursory research into...
Goodness.
Not kidding.
If you look at the banner for this week's show, this issue, every time I thought I was done, I'd be like, damn it, I need to squeeze this character in. And, you know, the cover banner alone has just an ungodly number of villains squoze into it. And then there were villains that were sort of, as we'll explain later, kind of left off the menu for this.
So, Eddie, as
10 villains on the cover alone.
Jesus. As a creator, you know, as our guest and as a creator, why? Why is this the well that is gone to so often for these characters?
I have no clue other than to say that maybe.
I mean, I have some theories.
I don't know if maybe, like, way back in the day that they had, like, this Marvel Stan Lee Jim Shooter. This is more like a Jim Shooter thing. At some point in their history, they were playing, like, this big crossover where all these, they needed, like, it would have been their Crisis on Infinite Earth at the time.
Oh, that would have been great. Like, one of the Celestials turned out to be, like, the Zookeeper.
Well, even more so, they were trying to do, like, a crossover with Paramount Pictures. So what they did is they just created animal villain after animal villain after animal villain, and it will culminate in the final issue where Spider-Man was just on his last leg, couldn't defeat these guys. And then the big crossover with Paramount would happen, and then they would bring in Dr. Doolittle.
Damn it, you stole it, man. Oh, I was going that direction. I was like, why wasn't there ever a controller type bad guy?
Right.
Like called Doolittle that would just come and be able to control only the ones based on animals.
Yeah, because like,
I can talk with the animal based villains.
Literally, like he would do unless there was an animal villain around, he would do little to help out. Get in.
Damn it, Eddie! That was a long way to go.
Seriously, I think the only thing I could think of would be that they would. They're just trying to pull something familiar and then give it a spin of a villain.
It almost is lazy, isn't it? Like
it kind of is. It's almost like someone in the office had one of those. This is what the wolf says. You know, they pull the and then the thing would spin around. Whatever animal it landed on, that was the villain of the month.
That's funny. What the rhino says. I'm gonna kill you, Spider-Man.
That's really funny. I just had a great idea for a character, and anybody can feel free to use it. I'm just putting it out there. You know how they were going to do the Serpent Society as the instead of Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Well, they need to have a resurfacing of the Serpent Society, and really have it run like a year's worth, sort of like the Hydra, Cap Hydra thing, where it really the Serpent Society really takes over the Marvel universe. Like they finally get
and I've got the ultimate character to join them.
Well, you can have that. I think that what happens is they Eddie said, he was on the Doolittle tip, right? My thing is you wait until the 12th hour, and then you use the cosmic cube to summon Saint Patrick.
Nice.
Who just drives all the snakes out of the Marvel universe.
Ultimate new member.
Oh my god!
Is this, like, just, you know, low-grade drug addict. He, like, just likes to rock the ganj constantly.
Rock the ganj!
New hashtag, rock the gong.
Hashtag, rock the gong.
So he's constantly toking away.
I'm sorry, like, but this show is going to end after this story because I can't keep going.
So they're like, you know.
So basically his superhero name is the Toker.
Well, the Midnight you think Toker. That, but the thing about it is, he goes and they're like, you know, Diamondback and Bushmaster and Fur de Lance, for God's sake.
That was my nickname in college, Bushmaster.
I bet it was. But the they're like, what good would you be to the Serpent Society? And all of a sudden they're just like completely out of it.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the hell? You know, they can't even think straight. They're really hungry. And it turns out what he does is impose his high onto his enemies. He's the grass snake, man.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
Him imposing his high on others, how is that a bad thing?
Well, it's if, like if you're like Captain America.
He's used to it. After Cities of Ice or whatever that was, you can't get Captain America high anymore.
Oh, well.
By the way,
trying to concentrate on your work, like throwing your shield so it'll bounce back to you, and all of a sudden you get like this super high, and then the other thing comes back and whacks you in the
when
groin.
When you're
like
super high, you'll settle for any chicken fried steak. Throwback joke to about 100 issues ago.
At that point, he's just using his shield as a bowl for all of his Doritos.
They're too busy just sitting there getting the Mega Munchies.
Speaking of rocking the gonj, I can't with that. I think we should probably get into some of these villains
it's like Jay, like Doobie Snacks. I guess we should also introduce the issue here. This is Hey Kids Comics number 270, Roguish Eyes 2, Tangled Web Part 4, Animal Kingdom.
Goodness.
Pretty about a year from Good now, the night. Titles to the show are going to be the entire show. So just be ready for that.
That's right. Welcome to Hey Kids Comics number 496. Hey Kids, Iron Man, The Iron Claw, Part 7.
Guest star the Von Erichs.
The Von Erichs. Oh my God! So we're talking about those animal characters, and I think that the best place to start is with Adrian Toomes. We referenced him earlier in this very episode, the Vulture.
Absolutely.
Creepiest spider. And we've talked about
I do want to preface things really quickly before we just jump in, is that in developing this issue, there were certain characters that unfortunately I had to leave out. And part of the reason was that I got to thinking about like Dr. Octopus. Yes, the octopus is there, but his name has a writer, in his case an honorific. So you don't want to...
Well, he didn't go to octopus school for 12 years to be called Mr. Octopus Cole.
That's right. But the thing about it is, if the character was the octopus, he'd be in. Dr. Octopus, he's out. So basically the rule
you
of thumb
rocking
is...
rocking the gonj tonight.
That's all I was wondering, too.
Is the characters had to be named solely for the animal, not like Dr. Mr. Fill in the blank color or activity or what have you.
I made a few exceptions to that rule, and those exceptions...
I had to kind of concede something. So
my exceptions were, and I'll go ahead and state them now because we're not going to have a chance to get to everything, Man-Wolf and also Man-Bull.
Yes.
Because apparently when you run out of animals in the Animal Kingdom, you then just start taking man and slapping it in front of an animal, and that becomes a new character.
And when you want to get really creative, you go human fly.
Yeah, baby!
Oh, look at you go!
Uh-huh.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. I want man-man-ball. That's what I want.
man-man-ball.
Triple-double. I want to come full circle twice on that man-man-ball.
Okay,
man-ball
so I have to tell you that off to the side, Catherine says, I have one Camel Toe.
No, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was my nickname in high school. yeah, baby. But yeah, Vulture. Adrian Toomes, my favorite, creepiest of characters.
And what a perfect name. I mean, the thing is, Stanley had a wonderful sense of humor about, you know, they play upon that in Spider-Man 2 about a guy named Octavius getting four extra limbs. I mean, this guy's got, like, one green booted foot in the grave to begin with. He's, like, the second oldest character in the Spider-Man universe after Aunt May.
It's funny that you bring that up, because I do remember it. I don't know if it was stemmed from reading like one of the old Marvel team ups or something, but it was, we all knew that there was at one point a relationship between Aunt May and Doc Ock.
That got dirty last time.
Well, I was thinking, why didn't she get hooked up with the Chameleon? It's like, was that too much like they would be that couple that you kind of are kind of creepy because they're too much like brother and sister? Is that
oh, you're talking about Vulture?
Yeah, what did I say? Chameleon.
Vulture.
It's the gaunt. I mean, the Vulture, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, they could actually pass for fraternal twins.
Right, I mean, if Aunt May, like, shaved her head, they would be like twins.
Oh, God!
Poor Aunt May!
It was bad enough that I was describing Aunt May in the last issue as Jessica Tandy age progressed 30 years.
Why can't Aunt May get a break on this show?
It's like Jessica Tandy when she chose the wrong Holy Grail.
She chose unwisely.
Why can't Aunt May catch a break on this show? Poor Aunt May. This isn't like the Friars Club roast of poor Aunt May. Now I love the Vulture, because Vulture is by far the creepiest Spider-Man villain that exists, based solely on the fact that he's like an 80-year-old man in a skin-tight costume with feathers.
Yeah, it's like, I want to accentuate my bony form.
Right? And like, are those your Vulture eggs? Or
No.
What do you think? He's like an emperor penguin or something?
Damn it.
Yes, there's just the one.
Vulture eggs.
This is why we love to have Eddie on here, because he can come up with some serious.
I have a question about the Vulture, right? And my question is this, and this question is going to come up repeatedly during this issue of this show, is why conceptualize, right? Why did Ditko and Lee conceptualize like an 80-year-old man and say, okay, so we're going to give him kind of a standard supervillain origin story, right? He's like a scientist-y business guy and has a bunch of money and gets his hands on a special harness that allows him to fly. All right, cool.
His business partner was last name was Bestman.
Well, I think it's Bestman. I think when you start looking at who created him, I think it's Bestman. But yeah, gets himself on a harness. Okay, great. We got this guy. Do we have a name? Yeah, he's real bad. Let's call him Adrian Toomes. Yeah, that's great. And here's the kicker. He's 112 years old. Wait, what?
Why would that be a thing?
The only reasoning would be because that would play into the whole Vulture look, you know, like the bony neck.
That's true.
The big beak nose, just like the protruding chin. His head looks like a vulture's head.
That's true, dude. That's absolutely accurate. Well, this is why the cryptozoologist needs to be on this show.
That's right.
You always go for the misidentification aspect, you know, to figure out what it was and people really saw.
Also, Eddie, while we're on this topic, right, while we're talking about this, has the Marvel Universe become so desensitized to seeing this stuff that seeing the Vulture or a human-sized bipedal rhino or a literal lizard man that's wandering around in the streets, or a flying beetle man or, you know, any of these things, has it gotten to a point that they don't freak out and think, oh, they call the cops that the Thunderbird is out there, or the Wendigo, or something? Has the Marvel Universe become so desensitized to the idea of this weirdness, right, that they don't call the cops anymore and say, oh, there's a Thunderbird in New York, or a giant bipedal rhino, or a lizard man, or, you know, a giant metal scorpion climbing up the side of a building? They're just like, oh, it's Thursday at 2. This is what happens.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you bring that up. I never thought about that aspect of it, but what it immediately dials up is when you would get – nowadays, no. Like, when you're reading Marvel Comics now, even in the 90s or even in the 80s. But take, for instance, because we've discussed these on a previous episode I was on, when you would get the freebie comics in the newspaper or 7-Eleven or a box of cereal, they would have that reaction more often than not. Like, the people in New York City, the Hulk would go bouncing through and everyone would freak out as if they never even heard or seen the Hulk ever. Right. So I guess it kind of depends on what era and what audience they're writing to. If they're writing to the casual comic fan, then yeah, they're probably going to write everyone's reaction to be like, oh my gosh, look at that. Whereas, yeah, if you take it something like, you know, in a regular run, then probably not so much because everyone's used to it.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're...
Go ahead, Cole.
No, but I think you're right because it, you know, it's also one of those things where it's like, okay, in science fiction, like in Star Trek or something, you go to every single planet has one government.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, to simplify things, you gloss over things.
Yeah.
And in this case, simplify things. You don't waste a lot of time with the massive super freak out that would be going on.
True. But you definitely get it in the movies.
Yeah, that's true. People actually bother to notice. Hey, uh-huh. There, that ain't right.
That ain't right. Hey, something's going on there. That ain't okay. So, Eddie, who's your favorite of these characters?
Yeah, oh,
we're not going to get them all. Like, that's the like Cole was saying. Okay, we're not going to get to all of them in this hour.
I'll say this: the one as a kid that creeped me out to the point that I'm not even sure if I would pick up, because I bought a lot of Spider-Man comics over the years. You know, starting way back at the 7-Eleven spinner racks.
Sure,
but I distinctly remember it could have been Peter Parker number one, where on the cover was the tarantula. As a kid, I had this fear of tarantulas, so I didn't want anything to do with any kind of villain named the Tarantula. Even though he was right there on the cover, he was just in the red speedo with the pin tips as his feet.
Yeah. One of the most ineffective. It's like, you know, I can get a running leap going, or I can get you in the vicinity of a good kick.
Ooh, I'll kick you. I'm going to kick you. That's what's going to happen. You're going to get kicked.
You're right.
I'm going to kick you and cut you simultaneously.
But before that, I'm going to dip these into some ink and then write all over you.
Dear Spider-Man.
Ooh, I got poison in my boots. I'm going to kick you. Get over here so I can kick you. Ooh, how are you up on that building? I can't kick you up on that building.
Get down here or I can kick you.
The tarantula is the one that would freak me out the most, but the one that really, really captured my attention, and this goes back to the old Power Records, the comic and record was the Man-Wolf.
Yes.
We'll let the Man-Wolf gets a pass on this show.
Absolutely.
Sure.
We're going to give Man-Wolf a pass because, quite frankly, Man-Wolf he's kind of like a legacy character because he's related to another character in the Spider-Man universe.
That's right.
Exactly, and that's what blew my mind is I had read a lot of Spider-Man comics up to that point, but when I got that record and comic set, and I was playing the record and flipping through the comic pages, and like, turn the page when you hear Spider-Man fart or whatever, and you would turn the page. When he got
when he farted.
No, when you got to that point where you realize, wait, this is J. Jonah Jameson's son? Like, that blew my mind.
And he was like an astronaut.
Yeah.
Which I guess, right. You know, in a world where there are, like, superheroes and stuff like that, suddenly, you know, being an astronaut isn't as big a deal, but somehow it's still a big deal.
It's still cool, right?
All right.
My favorite thing about Man-Wolf is whoever was in that bullpen, they came up with the name Man-Wolf. And I don't think it was one of the big ones. I think it was probably some intern that actually came up with it. You know, there was a chalkboard, because this was before whiteboard days. There was a chalkboard, and there was a list of just, you know, they were brainstorming, and somebody wrote Wolfman on the board. He went, put on his sunglasses and went, popped his collar and walked up to the whiteboard and erased the man at the end and just wrote it at the beginning and dropped the chalk. And everybody's like, whoa, and like the all their hair blows back.
Well, I think they used to have like a big board of index cards.
Right.
And a big stack of hyphens. And you would just like take random words off one stack and put them between on either side of the hyphen.
Or just chuck darts at the board, and whatever they hit, that was your next villain.
That's right.
Well, I mean, by that point, they had a Wolfman. They had a Werewolf by Night, which is, by the way, a hilarious name. that's probably the best name in the Marvel Universe, as opposed to what? Werewolf by Day? Which is fairly ineffective. there goes the werewolf.
Well, it started out as Werewolf, comma, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I want to read that comic.
Who wouldn't? It's like, who are you? I'm Werewolf. By the way.
And the follow-up comic, Werewolf, comma, on the town.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, so you know who the genius behind Man-Wolf is?
Who?
I just looked it up. Jerry Conway.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is.
The man who gave us the Punisher.
Speaking of Spider-Man villains.
Man-Wolf is like a space werewolf.
Magic space werewolf.
Yeah, and to underscore this, you have to have, like, a kyber crystal in your chest.
Right? You gotta have that juggernaut gem right there in your chest.
Yeah. And also have your outfit cut to accentuate. You really want to show off your magic crystal.
Listen, he was the fifth member of the Bee Gees. Nobody knew it. He had that Nightwing. He had that Nightwing V-neck down to the beanie.
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna make that joke.
Right down.
A lot of people don't realize that he got kicked off the Bee Gees because they kept having to talk to him about his habit of just constantly licking his balls on stage. And so, like, when he wouldn't let go of that aspect, you know, okay, you're out of here.
Well,
buddy.
I mean, the problem with that is, with those outfits, it was really easy to get to him because that V-neck went all the way down to his V-neck.
Yeah, so, he was basically just trying to keep them in.
Right.
He wasn't really playing with them.
He was trying to create some sort of
friction. He was trying to be modest.
And he's got that wolf stance, so it's not like he can just turn
around.
Otherwise,
they're like vulture eggs.
I was going to say that.
Damn it. Damn it. I love it when Eddie's on the show. Damn it. So good. Can we talk about the Rhino for a second? Did I lose everybody or am I back?
You're back. Right after I said vulture eggs, you might be out again.
Eddie, are you there?
I'm here. Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. So we're still recording, so that's fine. Yeah. Can we talk about the Rhino for a second?
If I recall, didn't the Rhino, like, have this the giant costume, and then it got fused to him?
Yes.
It's like, I'm going to put on this really cumbersome, you know, like, 150-pound leather outfit with my mug sticking out of the maw of a dead rhinoceros. It's like a rhinoceros swallowed me and died. And I managed to get my head out so I could breathe. And thankfully, out of the business end.
Like, right.
I'm going to crawl up in this rhino body.
I just was checking to see if it was like possible. What,
like Ace Ventura style? Or?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That rhino like was alive birth. When he started yeah. Eddie.
Oh, and then as his punishment for... Gavin said, thank goodness he got the rear end lined up, right?
That's right, that's right. That's some
but as his punishment stuff. For degrading this amazing, magnificent animal... is he was somehow fused into it. So now he has to, like, live the rest of his life inside the rotting carcass of a dead animal. I mean, it's little wonder he turned to crime, number one, because, you know, what are you going to do? You can't go get, like, a job on the assembly line at GM or something.
That's true. You, with hooves.
The practical upside, of course, was he got, like, super strength in the bargain.
Well, you know, he had this gamma treatment... Like, he had all these, like, treatments to make him, you know, super strong and super durable, like gamma radiation and like M genes and whatever he could put all up in him to make it
but,
work.
But why not? Because well, so you're already stuck inside a rhino.
My thought is this, right? What he did was, he was like a dude my size. That crawled up inside a rhino's ass and said, hit me with everything you got until I can't get out of this rhino suit, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Not only would you actually be physically capable of this with your particular form.
Are you talking about my particular form? My beautiful yes, Adonis absolutely. Body? Thank you, Cole. I appreciate what you're saying right now. You're calling me a frail baby girl.
You are. Ish, but not only would you be capable, I could see you doing just that, just so you could become the rhino.
I have crawled into so many rhinos' asses in my time.
I'm going to propose this here and now. For next year for All Con, I will make a life-size papier-mâché rhino, and we will have strip down, lube up, and climb into it by way of the arsehole. And we're going to charge admission for this.
it's going to be a Patreon thing. So here's the thing, Eddie. You've included an unnecessary step.
Yeah.
When I'm approaching a rhino's beehole, I create my own natural lube. That is not necessary.
Yeah.
Ew.
No, it is.
That's not the web shooters doing that.
Listen,
no, it only happens around pachyderms. I've seen
I release a ropey fluid that allows me to slide easily right into a rhino's beehole, wow. Becoming the rhino.
We can soften this up a little now.
I wish that that was how the rhino committed crimes was. Every time that he wanted to commit a crime, he had to climb up inside of another rhino to do it.
That's why he had to commit all those crimes so he could afford all those rhinoceros.
That's right. I mean, he's not a – you don't have a lot of Vegas show performers with rhinos and not lions, so –
That's so true.
Like, he wouldn't just go to the zoo and just, like, break in. He would actually have to own one?
Yeah, he would actually – he has a moral compass in that way. Okay, I want to talk about a personal favorite of all time.
You want to move it away from what we're talking about right now?
Right.
Michael. I'm trying to rescue this show a little bit. Nope. It's rare that I'm the voice of reason. Yes, indeed. I want to talk about one Dr. Kurt Connors.
Oh, he is a favorite of yours. Yeah, he is.
I loves me some Lizard. And I remember, you know, as a kid, I thought this was one of the coolest villains ever. I didn't realize the poor dude was down an arm
right at
the outset. I didn't know that, you know, he kind of man-batted himself trying to get his arm back.
It's a great verb.
Man-batted.
It's a great verb. But how great of a geneticist are you if you screw up your formula that badly? That's what I want to know.
Like, Where did you arrive?
That's why he's working at university.
That's what is true.
At what point did you derail the mammalian genome so severely?
Frog DNA. Life finds a way, baby. Sorry. we just have some Jeff Goldblum.
I'm not sure if that's Jeff Goldblum or the penguin. You know?
Like, you're gonna have some comics in your comic book show?
That would be, by the way, you've just cast the Penguin in the Batman movie. I don't want to see anyone else.
It's the tall, scrawny Penguin.
Would you say no to Jeff Goldblum as the Penguin?
I would cast Jeff Goldblum in everything.
As the Batman and the Penguin.
When it was down to Daniel Day-Lewis and Jeff Goldblum for Lincoln, I was severely pissed.
Oh, by the way, when I was coming into this show, I actually wanted to mention this, that if they were not going to go with Michael Keaton as the Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming, I was really hoping that they would go with Daniel Day-Lewis. He would have to live in that Vulture suit for months.
That's right. Just like the actual Vulture. But you know, speaking earlier to the why all the animals, why this surfeit of animal-based characters, and I think because that's an easy familiarity. Sure, you know, sure. If you try to name something like, it's my new character, Howitzer. It's like, was that his last name or something? No, it's the big gun, like in World War II. Oh, really? Yeah, it was like a big cannon. Why don't you just call him the cannon? Look, just shut up. It's the howitzer. But, you know, if you say the jackal.
Ew.
Or the puma. Or I'm going to hit you with a deep one here. The gibbon.
Oh.
And that's why you have Jerry Conway coming up with these characters and not Larry Hama. Because Larry Hama would give us howitzer and short.
Oh, that's true.
And cold eyes.
And the deadly
this is my new character that I created. His name is a thousand yard stare.
Well, I just want to see, like, the next, if they reboot the G.I. Joe cinematic franchise, they need G.I. Joe the Ice Cream Soldier.
They do. They absolutely do.
And it's all about how the Ice Cream Soldier got brainwashed by the Russians and Hydra and the Nazis.
Where they're making a Snake Eyes movie?
Yeah, you did see that correctly.
Oh my god, I can't wait. It better be Ray Parks.
It better be.
Better be Ray Parks, damn it.
But I really do think that there's a kind of familiarity there. You don't have to, you know, if someone was called the lion, you pretty much, or the tiger, or the bear, oh my. But, you know, those invoke images. And then you can tie the powers or the costume or what have you to these things. And it's a very familiar and easy catch for your audience. Where, you know, if you get into really obscure things, you're like, okay, sure, I guess that's what that is.
Sure, sure, that makes sense.
So if you hear that, you know, this issue, Spider-Man faces the Scorpion, you pretty much expect something stingy.
Something
there will be stinging involved.
stingy.
It was the title, Something Stingy This Way Comes.
Yeah, that was the other Bradbury novel that we never heard much about.
Right. So what is it about the lizard that you like the most, Cole?
Well, you know, personally, as a kid, I just was silly for animals in general, and I love reptiles. At intervals, I've actually had reptiles as pets and stuff. And it was just kind of cool to see, like, for some reason for me, a guy in purple chinos and a lab who's been turned into a living reptile, which I guess most reptiles that are alive are living reptiles.
Right.
I guess a human reptile. Where can you can't go wrong there. And I always wanted the Mego lizard figure. Because he had that like pillow tail going on. You just wanted to snuggle and spoon like a body pillow.
I don't know about all that.
we're going someplace here. We discovered a lot about each other on this episode.
When I was a child, I was only like 6.5 inches tall. I was very tiny.
You were very small.
I really did.
And the Mego figure was basically a body pillow.
Well, that's why they didn't buy it for me. They weren't sure it was machine washable.
They were afraid you were going to crawl up inside of that lizard the way I crawl up inside a rhino.
That's right. And you're like, look at me, I'm the lizard. I'm like, okay.
All right.
Yeah, you know what? It's creepy enough that our child is Doll Man.
I'll tell you what did it for me with the lizard just very quickly. I had literally just read Spider-Man comics, the lizard, and I thought, oh my gosh! Like, that, I was just reading about this character, thinking him, this was the same character book I'd read. I'm like, the lizard knows Bigfoot!
Well, I mean, kinda.
You'd have to wait another 10 years for a Sasquatch.
I know, exactly.
God, that's the name of my next book. Gotta wait 10 years for a Sasquatch. Tale of love and romance.
And really big feet.
Oh, yeah. Why do you climb up inside of so many rhinos?
Our stingy friend, the scorpion, I was looking over earlier Andy's research on a lot of these characters. I did not realize, and I shouldn't be at all surprised, there was a Scorpion 2099.
Oh, yeah. It looks ridiculous.
You know, this thing has no picture, but now all of a sudden I actually kind of want to know what Scorpion 2099 is all about. The thing about the Scorpion, though, I mean, I appreciate this guy is going all in.
Sure.
To fit his theme. And was it like, what it was, Sam Scorpio was one of the, the incarnations of the Scorpion. Matt Gargan was the original. That's right. But anytime you have a guy who's, you know, prosthetic augmentation is ass based.
Right. Straight up ass based.
This guy has glutes of steel. To be able to manipulate that tail using just his ass cheeks.
Right.
And I guess maybe there might be like some little things to connect it mentally, but I really think a lot of it's just in the, you know, a little, you know, he literally has to, he's like the twerker of evil. And it's putting a lot behind you.
Uh-huh.
As a villain. Catherine saw what I did there. But yeah, it's one of those things that if you think about the Scorpion, kind of, yeah, but you have to wonder, you know, with all that armor, is it beneficial to have, you know, does that afford you like some extra, you know, freedom in case nature calls?
It's a good question, Cole. You're asking the question we all want answers to at this point.
That's right.
I don't know. All I know is when you were talking about the Scorpion and twerking, I was like, when they put the Scorpion in a Marvel movie, I want it to be played by Beyonce. That's all I'm going to say.
Nicki Minaj is the Scorpion.
Just like, let me get my groove on back here. Mm-hmm, yeah. And then just like, I like big butts. Okay.
It's my anaconda don't. Oh, no, that's the anaconda. Oh, God, he's here.
Oh.
Yeah, you
got to
be
real
careful with song lyrics in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Is there an anaconda in the Marvel Universe?
Oh.
I don't remember.
There was a princess python, but I do not know. There has to
be a princess python from the
Serpent Society.
She was like with the Circus of Crime originally.
Yes.
And because she had this like giant ass snake.
Yeah.
This like iced tea attacking snake.
Really?
Did I get it right?
Almost.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Oh, God. It was iced tea.
I think so.
It was iced tea. 100%.
And apparently.
What?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Got him. He's back.
He's back in the eighth dimension. Okay.
It's like that Michael Keaton movie where they're like tuning in dead people on the radio or something.
Oh, that was a good movie.
White Noise? White Noise? Huh?
White Noise.
That was a good ass movie is what that was.
Right. It was.
Well, he's starting to do no wrong. Right. But and then again as the vulture, as the not old ass vulture.
He's kind of old, Cole. We kind of got to acknowledge the fact that
he's not like there. He's not as old as the vulture.
He's not Aunt May old, is what we're saying.
Yeah, please, exactly. Leave her alone.
Or Jessica Tandy, take your pick.
Such Jessica Candy old.
So then we go into, you know, after we are schooled Eddie on the schooled Eddie on the fact that even the lowly insect is an animal. The beetle.
The beetle.
The beetle. Now, depending on which version of the beetle you see, at one point he had like these Greedo fingers with suction cups on them.
I remember that. Oh my god!
I mean,
gosh.
They were like, was wearing mom's like dish gloves or something.
what would be the point of that? Other than just to get in the way of doing things.
I know, it's like,
it's how do you rob a bank? How do you break into a bank vault with those things?
Yeah, it was not pity. A precision instrument.
It was pity. They were pity. Like, gotta let him do it. Like,
just take the money, will you? Yeah, as I think that they had like some sort of energy beam or something, and for some reason they had to just do these like really super long. And I think they were only like three-fingered gloves.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if he just thought that it would look cooler. Like, I'm really going to sell this whole beetle idea. Because, like, the original beetle, he's wearing, like, a welder's outfit. And those long-ass purple gloves and a waist belt.
Right.
And these big, like, I mean, it looks like somebody, he just, like, came from the school play.
Well, it looks like he made a costume in his kitchen, is what it looks like.
And then over the years, he got, like, proper armored up, where he had, like, the heavy-duty carapace that would, you know, open up, and he had, like, hyper-flapping wings, like a proper beetle.
Oh, the snow sleds. Like, in case him and Miss Beetle wanted to go sledding, you already had him.
That's right, yeah.
They're handy, ready to go.
And then later, still.
If he wanted to sweep Aunt May off her bony old feet, they could go sledding together just on his little sled.
Leave her alone! Poor woman's got enough to deal with.
Their yellow toenails and everything. Wait, what?
Come on.
God.
Damn it, Eddie.
Oh, yellow and bark-like.
Just looks like Paste Pot Pete got a hold of him.
Oh, it's like Paste Pot Pete leavings.
No. That's been our show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go throw him up out of my butt for a while.
Well, then you get like the later Beetle in Thunderbolts, for example, or he's got like the mega armor.
Yeah, the ridiculous, armor, yeah.
Well, it was the late 90s. It was like they were late to the image game. Like they were trying to catch up to all of Liefeld's.
Because then it's almost like he's got Beetle's gone back to the Greedo fingers. Only they're more like, you know, Sir Lancelot Greedo finger greaves or something.
Greedo.
I thought you were going to say Lance Link.
Lancelot Link.
Oh my gosh!
Oh man!
And then even later still, you got Lady Beetle.
Uh huh.
Because everybody was getting a girl version.
Yeah, but that was she was still called the Beetle. Is that right?
She was called the Beetle. She was the daughter of Tombstone. Is the daughter of Tombstone? I guess.
Gotcha.
If you're curious about where that
someone made the reference to Noah's Ark earlier. This is like probably the only one of the few times we actually had like male and female. If this was
that's so true. There wasn't if disaster struck and everybody had to get on a giant helicarrier.
Helicarrier. That would make Nick Fury Noah. I almost said Moses. Oh my gosh, Noah. Nick Fury is Noah in this scenario.
Yeah, it makes his right-hand man would then be Ham Duggan.
Oh, God.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, I know a few biblical references.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
So you winced earlier, Andy, when I invoked the jackal.
I did. Yes, I did. Because of all... And I said the vulture was the creepiest of Spider-Man's...
I don't know. Gave Rhino a good creepy run for his money there.
We had to make Rhino creepy, right? Like, we went out of our way to make Rhino creepy, The Jackal, however, doesn't need our help. He is the creepiest. He's the creepiest, first of all, because he looks like a... He doesn't look like a jackal.
That's true. He's like... What is it, like the Jackal from Oz or something?
He looks like a weird furry orc, like a weird furry orc from Lord of the Rings.
Right.
But his shtick is, I'm going to clone Peter Parker over and over again because I'm not obsessed with this teen boy body or anything. I just want...
Never thought of it that way. Oh my god!
I just want to make him perfect. Him. I just want him to be everywhere, and I want him to be perfect, and I want to put myself inside of him, even if
Rhino style.
Even if it's only in his mind, and I'm going to make a bunch of him, and we're going to see how that turns out, and I'm going to surround myself with him because I'm a furry orc man, and I want to be up inside Peter Parker's body head. Nothing creepy though. It's fine, Jerry Conway.
Yeah, nothing creepy about the Jackal hosting a dinner party for himself and 14 Peter Parkers.
No, it says here in the description that he's a high school science teacher.
Yes!
That makes it worse.
That's where he got the DNA from, Peter Parker.
Oh my gosh.
He just kept coming over and like, oh, you've got some schmutz in your hair. Let me help you here.
So as we come around on this, there is a question that I have that's been plaguing me. And it's almost as creepy as the rest of this entire episode of this show, because I wasn't expecting it to be as creepy as it's been. But hey, what are you going to do? How many of these villains know that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, would you say, on any given Sunday?
Okay, of this particular collection.
Let's say all of the ones we've talked about in this entire story.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's some that are a given. I think everyone knows, every man, woman, and child in America knows that Green Goblin knows Peter is Spider-Man.
Sure.
If Doc Ock doesn't know, he suspects.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Doc Ock knows, right?
Would the Lizard know? I mean, he knew in the movies. Okay.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
He knew. He was Peter's science teacher in high school. So, like, there's no way he didn't
know. Wait! So, two of his teachers from high school went to a life of crime? The Jackal and the Lizard?
Yeah.
Well, the turnover rate in good teachers, there's just not a lot of tenure in New York City high schools, because most of the teachers either like move to the Midwest where it's a lot quieter and safer, or they turn to a life of crime as some creepy ass costumed villain.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, you know, here's my point is, I'm going to say that at some point in the last 60 years, now granted in the past, what, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years, we've kind of decided that Peter has become an adult, right?
Yeah.
But before that, Peter was a, for lack of a better term, child. He was a child.
He was a minor.
Yes. And the mass majority of Peter Parker's villains are creepy old white dudes that know that he's a boy, put on costumes, and make it their life's work to literally predatorize this poor child. Tell me that's not creepy.
God.
Tell me that at some level, why? Why do you do this? Why is, you know, the father of my best friend puts on a Green Goblin costume and comes after me, and no one else can have me but him, because he'll kill him and throw him off a bridge and maybe snap their neck. Or
some of my teachers that I see every day at night, like, you know, slither into an avocado orc suit.
Right.
And obsess over me and manipulate both through genetics and through their fingers my DNA.
Or this Werther's original in a flight suit that keeps trying to literally steal my youth. Pepperidge Farm remembers, and his name is Vulture, and he keeps trying to steal my damn youth literally.
Oh my god, that's pretty scary. Because...
Go ahead.
No, Eddie, what do you got? We don't stop you when you have a revelation.
When you said steal his youth, it got me thinking. There was another villain in the Spider-Man universe that was trying to steal something from Peter, and that was his virginity.
Black Cat?
Yes.
Creepy.
Oh, that's right.
Grown
she was like
ass
a
woman. Grown right, ass exactly. woman.
So she wasn't so much a black cat as a cougar.
She's totally a cougar. She probably taught home ec. Not to be sexist, we've just covered every other class
the weather
he's
to
ever
calm.
Taken.
Apparently so. Or Andy just got so excited at the thought of
You know, one of the things that occurs to me most is, you know, with all these shifty creeps, these, you know, should have been like Stan Lee's How to Catch a Predator, that, you know, were plaguing poor young Peter Parker, that there were these two super genius scientists who were just so Walter Whiting it, what, 40 years before Breaking Bad? In that they were, you know, these insanely brilliant scientists who were remanded to teaching high school science. And, you know, these were guys who could clone Peter Parker or grow back lost limbs in the worst possible way. But still, I mean, even as poorly as he managed to find a way to reverse the loss of his arm, Kurt Connors did things that, like, serious mega science going on here.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, you know, most nights he's just home grading papers and stuff.
Right.
Cleaning the Bunsen burners after class.
Cleaning Bunsen burners after class. Damn it. No, you're right. And, you know, I think we better wrap this up, if for no other reason than the fact that my box got really swollen when I started thinking about that was a throwback to about 7 years ago.
Easily.
When we started talking about old men being predators against Peter Parker's child body. So
yeah, real quick, I want to give a shout out to some others that you brought up in your research. You had one of my personal favorites, Kangaroo.
Yeah.
The Owl, Leland Owsley himself. We mentioned the Gibbon in passing and Puma. Yeah, we mentioned Manbull. Squid. I didn't realize there was a squid. I've got to look that one up. The Slug. Oh, dear God.
Just fat.
The Slug.
Just so. Before the show started, Cole and I were talking about the Slug and how essentially you're just body shaming this poor guy. That's all you're doing.
It's like the worst superhero ever. Then we had Orca, I think, and Grizzly. And, of course, Black Cat kind of got a pass as well because, you know, she's a very crucial character who turns out to be a child molester.
Damn it. Everybody's Spider-Man. It's a villain, a child molester.
Well, this is like that sketch from Saturday Night Live with The Rock. I mean, good Lord. We didn't realize how inherently part of evil child molestation was.
I'm so glad you brought up the Gibbon, because the Gibbon was always like the Bigfoot of the Spider-Man world to me. Or like grown-up Chaka. Well, I'm not sure which.
Grown-up Chaka!
Dear God. It's like Will and Holly taught Chaka English,
right?
And then when they got back to the land of normal, they set him loose.
They set him loose on Peter Parker.
He turned to a life of crime.
Like, you don't understand what it's like to be a displaced Pakuni.
Eddie, he couldn't get a job in the PE department at Spider-Man High School. So,
No, he did, but he got fired after the first semester because he couldn't stop throwing poop at the students who were taking him.
That wasn't even a low blow. So,
and all he would do is complain about how tiny the strawberries are here.
These are tiny strawberries.
I got that reference. But I got it.
Land of the Lost fans will understand. Why do you miniaturize your strawberries? They're tiny.
Oh, my gosh.
Anybody else on that list that we need to talk about?
I think that covered the honorable mentions. Also, Silver Sable, for example, who...
Well, was she a good guy, though, right?
Lassu's a mercenary.
Some from Column A, some from Column B.
Who is Orca? Orca's on this list, but I thought Orca was over in D.C.
Well, there's an Orca that occurred, he was an Atlantean.
He was an Atlantean that had, again, very similar to the Rhino.
Yes, it's like the sea Rhino.
Only, instead of crawling up the beehole of a Rhino, this guy crawled up the beehole of an Orca.
Poor killer whale.
Like, he could just go into the blowhole. He could just use the blowhole.
They just put it on like a pair of pants.
He did.
He just go through the blowhole, put it on like a pair of pants.
So, how do you put on an orca? One leg at a time.
One leg at a time. Oh my gosh.
Oh, dear Lord. He's just his little blue face there, just all.
Oh,
dear Lord.
Hey, can you work on a shirt that says, how do you put on an orca? One leg at a time?
Just get that classic picture of Orca from
the fact you told me you sit. Y'all been waiting 6 years for the man Shih Tzu drawing. I wouldn't hold my breath.
That's so true. I actually found my old sketch of Shih Tzu. And I want to point out one of your cryptids from your April 1st episode of Figments. Put me so in the mind of Man Shih Tzu.
Oh, the Sasquatch one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just show that to Andy sometime.
Oh, my God. All right.
Oh, my God. It's Man Shih Tzu. Final just honorable mention, a little nod to a good friend of Kirk Connors, at least his criminal persona, Stegron.
Oh, Stegron. Wow.
That's a callback right there.
Much like the lizard, this guy's effed up genetics took him so far back.
Right.
That if his genetic code had been any more ancient, he'd have been the trilobite.
That's a joke only for joke Paul
for friends of the natural history.
Impossibly Weldon. Those are the jokes.
Two people who would arrive at that joke.
That's right. Eddie and I are like, man, you go a long way to clone a stegosaurus only to climb up his beehole. Life finds a way.
Oh, no. But, Catherine said he's not a coelacanth, he's a coelacan.
That's right. Are you a coelacanth or a coelacan? Gross. All right.
Goodness.
It's those tiny strawberries. Well, we better call it a night, kids.
Yeah. Eddie, thank you. You are a king among men for coming on this show, making your observations, and rolling with the bee jokes tonight.
Well, I have to point out that Eddie was given his choice of the first four episodes and zeroed in on this one, which it just was even more brilliant for it.
Well, yeah, because I figured I can't talk at length on any one character, but you give me a menagerie of characters, I can talk a little bit about each one.
Yeah, this was sort of like, given the orca and rhino, it's just like the ass menagerie.
And you can yes and the hell out of one sentence on every villain in the Marvel Universe.
Oh my gosh.
We Del Close followed the fear tonight. That's what we did, baby. We didn't back down. I'm proud of us. I really am. We faced the demon.
That was a beautiful thing.
Eddie, us up, man. What do you got? What's going on?
Oh gosh. Catch Figments, the Unexplained Mysteries podcast at DallasOnAir.com every first Sunday of the month at 9:30 a.m. Central, where me and Colleen are delving into all goody things. This episode's dropping, what, Friday? This coming Friday? Is that the plan?
This will actually ideally go live on Wednesday. This is Wednesday, damn it. This Memorial Day threw me off. Can you guess when we're recording? Probably Thursday or Friday at the latest.
Okay, well, in that case, catch us this coming June 3rd. Where we're going to have a world exclusive on Figments. We're going to have an eyewitness to a living Territorn. His story has right.
What?
He saw Rip Torn?
Yes, he saw Rip Torn. Rip Torn was riding a Territorn.
How do you put on Rip Torn? One leg at a time.
Wow.
Yeah, so his story has never been told publicly. It's going to be premiered on Figments this coming Sunday, June 3rd.
All right.
So, yeah, so we're going to have a breaking story. And it's a good one, too. You don't want to miss it.
I'm so excited for this.
I think you may have a caller or two.
Yeah,
I'll be like downstairs in the lobby calling up.
All you have to do is walk up and grab a mic.
I'm just going to call in. You can just put me on speaker, and I'm just going to sit there going, what? Over and over again.
See, that's the thing is, that's the way my mind works. Like, I could just come up to the studio, walk in, kind of give you a high sign, take a seat at the table. No, I would see you down in the lobby not knowing what the hell's going on and phoning in from, like, eight floors down.
This is, like, right. The perfect cryptid show for Cole and I, because A, like, it's super cryptidy, right? So it's for me, and B, it's super dinosaur-y, so it's for Cole. Like, you got us well, now, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, right.
That's why they called me Stegron.
Yeah, but just to get to give an extra plug, our guest, who's bringing the eyewitness story, is actually Jason McLean, who has appeared on the Rancor Pit a few times, and has his own show along with Ray Perez and their friend Sean. They do Vagabond Nerds, which is also on DallasOnAir.com. I believe it's every other Saturday at 11 o'clock a.m. Central. So check out Vagabond Nerds at Dallas On Air, where you can also find Figments and the Rancor Pit.
Immediately following, Isle of Toys, A-I-S-L-E, for those of you. This isn't like Gilligan's Island. It's more like the toy aisle. And, of course, Isle of Toys. Yes, Figments is the first Sunday of every month from 9:30 to 10:30. Isle of Toys, the third Sunday of every month, same time slot. And the first and third Sundays of every month, immediately following those incredible shows, the, like, Star Wars powers activate, your favorite Star Wars guys on the Rancor Pit live.
So when is the next recorded Rancor Pit, guys? Are we getting one, or is it going to be a while?
Our little robot boy is breaking down.
Oh, no. No, I wanted to know when the next recorded...
Our little robot boy.
I wanted to know...
I was once on living.
Can you hear me now?
You're back.
Okay, when is the next recorded rant?
Nope, he's coming again.
God damn it.
He's going back to the eighth dimension.
Just finish the show, please.
There you go. Okay,
Somebody just finish the show.
So, yeah, be sure and check us out at Dallas On Air on those assorted times and days. And we're coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe, JediCole.com. And look for us on social media and such occasionally. And Andy, get us out of here if you can.
Well, if I'm back, I just wanted to say hashtag where she's or. And buy, collect, and enjoy your comics. Thank you again, Eddie, for joining us. It was a pleasure. We'll be back with a super secret episode next week.
And apologies for ruining every animal villain you ever used to love as a child.
There you go. Good night, everybody. Say good night, everybody.